Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Nobody Panic, a podcast where we help you how to do things.
And that's very much the tone. So come on in. We're giving it a go. Take a seat, take a load off and plug us in and unplug.
Just unplug.
Just unplug.
We're all doing our best here. And our best often is not the best, but it's our best.
We're not thriving, but we're surviving. That's how I would describe it.
Oh, very much.
My current emotional energy.
I'm Stevie, and my excellent co-host Tessa here has an email of a suggestion for today's episode.
Yes, I do. I would love you to do an episode on how to get on with your parents as an adult. Crossing from the parent/child to adult/adult dynamic can be difficult. And in my family, we find ourselves slipping back into the relationship we had when I was a teenager. We have very different views, we either fight or avoid certain subjects. By the way, I moved out when I was 19 and I'm now 28, married with a house and a cat. And it's still an issue. Many thanks, Christina. We liked very this good. Email very much and thought, oh, what a universal subject that is, attempting to make the adult-adult dynamic work.
Yes, it's the realization that like, oh, my parents are people and they have their own foibles and things. And as you get older, you go like, oh, I'd sort of disagree with that. Whereas when you're a kid, that you don't, you can't disagree.
No, because they're deities. They're it. They're
yeah,
everything.
Well, or you just disagree all the time with everything they say because you're a teenager. And then until the fact that the disagreements just mean nothing and are pointless. So like, yeah, it's a completely different stage, isn't it? In life, which will continue and continue. And
There's a really nice line in a book that I hadn't thought of till now, but I was obviously stuck with me because I do remember it. That was about like a girl, somebody growing up. And then she said the line like, when they made the transition from semi-divine dictator to semi-detached confidant.
Yeah.
Which is and that's sort of it, isn't it? Like they go from being like the absolute, they're your whole world, and then they become somebody that they sort of weirdly tell you things as well, and
ask advice, you know. That's kind of where you would hope the relationship is, but that's very rare, and often that transition from child to adult to adult to adult can just be hard. It can just be like, oh, we don't see eye to eye.
I think it's impossible. And also, like, the more I see like my friends now having babies and just sort of like holding them at arm's length and being like, oh my god, the more I'm like, okay, so being a parent is just like doing your absolute best and like making it up. And you know, your parents, they're just people, you know, there's people sort of doing their
yeah
best.
Making mistakes just like you would do if you had a baby right now.
Yeah.
It's very overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. Parents, eh?
And
that's all we've got to say about it.
Okay.
So,
see
goodbye.
You next week. Before we dive into it, we say a grown-up thing we've done this week to make us feel better about our lives. What's your grown-up thing you've done this week, Tessa?
Mine is that I was listening to this fantastic podcast, Nobody Panic.
Oh, yeah.
Did an episode about how to have a staycation in the UK, mm-hmm. Regardless of what you think the word staycate means. And one of them was saying you had to just do fun things and really commit. And then when it was sunny last week, I went with my friend Phoebe. We got in the car and we drove to the big IKEA. And we had a hot dog and chips and sat in the car park.
Oh,
eating them with a Coca-Cola. It's, I'm sorry, but it's a £3 for a hot dog, chips and a Coca-Cola. I mean,
that's great.
It was so sunny and it really felt like being, there's something about chips, that particular taste that like feels like you're at an event or like at something or like, you know, you're at a big stadium or you've got your chips in the stadium, you know? And it felt so exciting. And also because IKEA is in like such a weird like industrial car park bit, it does feel like the bit where you've just like landed in another country in the airport and you're like, oh my God, it's so weird. Like all the transit areas of any country are weird. So when you first land, you're like, oh my God, this was a mistake. Like, this is so weird here. So we were driving around pretending we were in Spain and having a hot dog. And it was genuinely, and then we went around the IKEA showroom and it was genuinely a very funny day. I came home being like, I've had a really good day. And it's just about really committed, really, really committing and going somewhere and not being like, oh, I have to go around IKEA. Be like, I'm going to IKEA.
Yeah, I'm going to make it fun.
I'm going to make this as fun as possible. I'm keep pretending I'm in Spain.
Finding the childlike joy in the adult life is truly one of the most adult things we can do.
That's exactly it. That's exactly
it's
it.
It's all full circle, isn't it? You spend your whole childhood trying to be an adult, and then you spend your whole of adulthood being like, how can I reconnect with my child? Inner child, not your actual child.
No, and do connect with your child. Cher, I don't know if anyone follows Cher on Twitter. She tweets in like all caps.
Yeah,
she's absolutely great. The energy is all over the shop. And she said something like, she was tweeting, she's doing some kind of tweet thread. And then she was like, I've got to go for half an hour. While I'm gone, everyone just try and reconnect with their inner child. And it really
yeah,
felt.
Cher.
And everyone was like, okay, Cher. And it really felt like a genuine request. And we were like, okay, we will.
I'll try. I'll do my absolute best.
I'll give it a bloody go. Right, what's your adult thing?
I've got into baths.
Hooray! Hooray!
Yeah, finally. It's only taken 30 plus years. I've never enjoyed baths. I get in and then after 5 minutes get too hot or too cold or just get frustrated. My glasses steam up. I get very sweaty and then I get very angry at myself that I've spent this time cultivating this experience. After 5 minutes, I need to leave it. And then I think of in nanoseconds, like all of the scenes in films of people enjoying baths just like pass before my eyes. And I think, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Why can't you have joy? And then I leave being very angry at myself. That's my bath experience. Recently, I started to get like what can only be described as old person aches and pains.
Mm-hmm.
And my boyfriend was like, why don't you have a bath? I was like, you know what? I actually can't think of anything better than to submerge myself in very warm water and just feel. Also as well, the heating was a little bit off in the house. So I was just cold all mm-hmm, the time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Got in the bath. And I don't know if anyone knows this about baths, but they're so warming. And they're warm all over your body. And it's the only time my entire body, I think I've got some like circulation issues. So it's the only, basically my hands and my feet are like ice. And then the rest of my body is kind of fine. But I'm constantly cold. Anyway, I could put my hand and my foot in the bath and with my body. And then all my body became the same temperature. And it was like heaven. And then I became addicted to them. And pretty much every day for about 3 weeks, I had a bath every single night. And I would think about it all day. And I've had to now wean myself off them because I became like addicted to bath time.
You can never be no. Carry on.
At every moment I'm not in the bath, I'm like, stay in. I don't know what I'm doing. What a waste. I could be submerged
and
in water.
And welcome. You're finally here. Welcome.
So I've just discovered something that everyone's been doing for, I think, centuries. That's my adult thing.
Welcome.
I feel so much calmer. So, talking of feeling so much calmer, one of the biggest sources of anxiety for in your adult life is transitioning to adulthood. According to a family therapist, Judy Hess, PhD, one of the most difficult things is to transition to adulthood and then reconfigure what it means to be attached to the people who raised you, especially when you're no longer living under their roof. Mm. So you are not the only person. I have a very lovely relationship with my parents, but of course that relationship changes and it has changed. And there was a period of time in my 20s, for example, when I very much like, you know, would only call them when I needed something, for example, mm. or like, and also as well, like I didn't know what the relationship was anymore. Like, you know, when you're like, am I a kid? And are you a parent? Or are we both friends? And now we've got to a stage where we are, I would say we're friends. And so like we give them, me and my sister give them advice and stuff and they give us advice. And we've got to that stage where they are kind of like you say, semi-detached confidants. And I think it's very lucky as well because not I don't, you know, many people don't get to that stage, but if you don't get to that stage, that does not mean that you are destined to have a bad relationship with your parents. What I found very interesting is talking to my boyfriend, who's both of his parents aren't with us anymore. But when they got older, he completely shifted his relationship with them, and his brothers sort of didn't. He specifically like made the effort to be like, okay, they're moving into this like different period of time. I'm going to lean, like, step forwards, forget everything that happened, forget old sort of arguments, past grudges, anything. They are now this. And so what do I want from my parental relationship? Like, what do I want from them? What do they need from me? And how can I make it work? And he took like a really practical look at it, rather than doing, which I think lots of people do, which I sometimes do, which is like, well, why isn't it like it was? Or like, what, you know, why can't we do that? Or like, you know, kind of sort of a mix of nostalgia and like frustration at being treated like a child, but like, you can't have it both.
There's so much wrapped up in it. You've got this power dynamic that nobody knows where the balance should lie and like who's in charge here. Then you've got like this whole like terrifying aging process that, like, you know, people that and like mortality, and, you know, that's wrapped up in there. And then like accepting people who were one thing to you are now like something else. And, you know, there's just, and exactly, nostalgia, like that's such a huge part of it. And like both desperately vying for power and at the same time like wanting to be cared for. And, you know, there's so much going on. And I think like right at your, I don't know. And I don't think it goes away for anybody. And I don't think anyone ever truly gets it completely right. And I think like at your heart, you're always sort of a kid, or you're always, your relationship is always something. And like years, a long time ago at a wedding, my dad was like on the dance floor. My dad like likes to dance, not on his own maybe, but definitely like, he's
I wouldn't have thought Tom was a dancer. That's great.
Oh, he loves, listen, he'll hate this, but he was in the twirling teens as a teenager in Calgary. Oh, the Calgary twirling, the Red Deer twirling teens. And we tease him about it being marionette, like baton twirling. And he's like, it was step dancing or whatever you call that. Like, it was country dancing. I went because there was girls, like, you know, so he loves a bit of partner dancing and like any kind of like a country dancing, and he's up, he really likes to get involved. So he's not somebody who you have to sort of drag onto the dance floor. And then my auntie is 3 years older than him, and at a wedding she like went, he was already on the dance floor, but she like went to pull him to like dance with her, and it honestly was like, it was like he was 6 years old. Like, he just, his whole body reverted to being like, no, get him, go away. Like, it was like breathtaking to watch. I'd never really seen that transition in a person. But he was, honestly, he was six. And it was like, all that embarrassment just came out of him and just like, didn't want to be with his sister. Like, it was, there was so much going on. And I was like, oh, it never really changes. Like, you become adults, you have kids, your kids grow up, and at the end of the day, you're still a six-year-old who, like, doesn't want to dance with his sister. Like,
yes,
it's all just, ultimately, like, no matter how much you try and fight it, like, ultimately, you will always be their kid, and they will always be your parent.
For a lot of people that I know, a lot of friends that I know, who have successfully, and by successfully, I mean they've just managed to have some form of relationship with their parents in their adulthood. A lot of my friends don't. Like, don't speak to their dad, or don't speak to their mom, or don't, or kind of have a relationship, but it's not really what, you know, Christmas is a nightmare, they don't really want to go home, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think so much around it is about forgiveness and communication. Mm-hmm. And those two things seem to be the thing that ties up or links everyone that seems to be able to at least have a relationship that functions in some way with their parents, and those that don't. And that could be coming from either side, whether it's the parents not forgiving, or the parents not communicating, or the children. One of the things that I've noticed really, like a lot, is that the older generation are not as able to communicate their feelings as well as we are. And that just seems to be across the board, even if your parents actually do communicate. Like, my parents do communicate, but still there are things that they only when we've got older and we're like almost force them to talk about that, then it will be like, it will be brought up, or it'll be like, it's, you know, me and my sister are both like in therapy and like working on our issues. Like, my parents have never had therapy. Like, and everybody, as we say quite a lot on this podcast, like, everyone needs therapy. Like, just so that you can deal with stuff and you can look at things and you can be able to move through stuff. And a lot of the old generations don't. And then that can cause huge rifts because then it's like, well, why aren't we communicating? Or it causes frustration. And so it feels like, you know, from what I can see, that a lot of it's about you deciding what you would like your relationship to be with your parents, and then you being aware that you will have to do some of this legwork rather than wanting your parents to just sort it out for you and just act like act like grown-ups, act that, because they're always supposed to be the authoritative figure, aren't they, in your brain? So you're like, so they should sort it out rather than me. Like, what I have to sort it out, which is fair enough. But the thing is that if you want a healthy adult relationship, you're going to have to do that push to kind of push them into, you know, like, also meeting
100%.
You.
A while ago, I found these very funny glasses at my grandma's house, and I was wearing them and decided I looked like a therapist. And so she was sat on the, and we were laughing about it. And I must have like, and I, then I sort of said, so how are you? And I sort of pretend to be a therapist. And I said, you know, how are you today, Sheila? And my grandma said, oh, I'm okay. And then my back, I've got this thing with my knee and I've got this thing with my back. And I said, yes, but how are you inside? And it just like started as a joke. But then the more I sort of kept pushing, she was like, well, this, you know, I'm having a problem with the pond and there's this, and I don't know what to do about Bill's sheep that are in the field, you know, all of this. And I'm like, yes, but how do you feel? And she like, she wasn't naming any emotion. She was just like naming like physical ailments. And like I could really tell that like, she actually did not know how to answer the question about like how you felt like inside. And then I was like, this is the end of this game. But I really was like, okay, like that's such a huge, massive divide about generational, how generations approach the question of like, how are you? And like how in tune they are with their feelings and how able they are to be like, I'd like to discuss this. And like, this is how this made me feel when in my childhood. And like what you're saying about like forgiveness and communication is like so massive, because it sort of comes down to like, what are your battles? Like, what are you prepared just to like let go, and you've made peace with it? And does it win anything? Does it help anything for you to have to discuss this? Is it enough for you just to like forgive them and like,
or
accept
do
that
you
they
need
were just doing their
to
best?
Talk about it?
Or do you need to talk about it? Like, does it need to come up? And do you need to say like, this, you need to acknowledge this thing that you did or that you didn't do for me or whatever? Like, does it need to be talked about, or is it enough for you just to make your peace with it? And you know, and what's the, and what will the cost of that discussion be? I'm also very lucky, I have a nice relationship with my parents that wasn't always nice. And definitely when it is nice, you're much more able to like bring up old stuff and open and discuss things and laugh about stuff and be able to be more open about like how things were. But if like everybody's feeling fragile and toxic and vulnerable and all of that stuff, like that's not the time to be like, let's sit down and discuss our feelings. Yeah. You know, like it's never gonna happen.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
So whenever there's been issues or something in my family, tensions or whatever, it does tend to be me and my sister that will like bring that forward. Mm. And it's helped so much to acknowledge that the relationship has changed rather than kind of be like wanting them to sort everything out all the time. And I think if you're listening and you're like, yeah, but I have like a seriously difficult relationship with my friend. Like this all sounds like you're talking about like Sylvanian families or whatever. Like we're talking like real life. Bad situation. Then if you getting therapy or you being able to talk to somebody that can help, and we've got an episode about how to get therapy, getting therapy yourself to work on your relationship with your parents is probably one of the most like rewarding things. Because I've got a friend who's basically done that, but that's not what she went into it for. She went into it because she wasn't well, but then it's become very clear that what she needed to do was she needed to sort out her relationship with, I think it's her mum. Through having therapy, she has learned how to approach her mum, how to talk to her mum. Because I think so much of it is about like, you know, if you have a, so for example, taking something really, really simple. If your parents say, you know, the classic of being like, they're constantly, I don't know, talking about your weight, say, or they're talks about
your, how good your other sibling is, or
yes, like the only way you are ever going to be able to solve that is by you confronting in a kind and calm way that situation, saying, I know that you might be trying to motivate me, but when you do that, it has the opposite effect. When you mention my sister or my brother in this exalted way and sort of make me feel lesser, it just makes me feel lesser. And I know that you love me and I know that you care, but it sometimes I feel like you don't when you say things like that. And I know that you don't mean to, but that's how I feel. Like that is the only way you're ever going to move through something is by, you know, literally saying, I don't want you to do this. But that's so hard to do that to your parents, because you're like, but they're my parents. It doesn't matter if you're 40, like they're still your parents. And also you presume as well, and I think lots of people, well, they're not going to listen. I know people, I'm very close to people who like you suggest something and you kind of bring something up and they go like, no. And then like 3 days later, they'll be like, yes, actually. And you know, that's what your parents might be like. You start the process and then at least you've started it and you're not just sort of, you know, stewing. It's always better to be out in the open than it is to just be privately eating away at you. Like that can't happen. But if you can't do that, then you need help to do that. And the only way you can do that is by, I think, really understanding your parents, like you would with anybody. Like when you have a friend and you don't understand their motivations, or you're like struggling, the only way you're ever going to like strengthen that bond is by really understanding your friend. So if your friend is acting in a way that you don't get and then you fill in the gaps, that's not fair. You don't know what your friend's going through. They might be going through a really bad time. They might have intense amounts of stress. They might just be really insecure about this thing or whatever. But your parents, they might be really insecure about something. They might be, their motivations are often positive but skewed, you know? And even the worst things, unless they are bad people, unless something has, they have really, and that's a separate thing. And then you might not want to have a relationship with them. And that's also completely okay. Incredibly hard, but okay. But there's always a motivation. It's so important. It's probably the most important relationship for you to understand the other person than any other relationship in your life. Like you need to understand why they do what they do. Why? And then once you understand why, then you know what to do to like solve it and talk about it. And I think people are so complicated, especially older generations, because they often don't say what they mean because they don't know how to do that, and that's very tricky.
And often they don't know themselves, like it's never occurred to them to answer that question. And I think it's exactly that, of like understanding why they do something, but also why does it upset you? Like what is your It takes two to tango. And yeah. the more that you can do the work on your own side of the tango, the better you can come to that discussion, and the more that you can do your own therapy and your own forgiveness and your own, like, why does this bother me so much if, you know, mum is busy or this happens or I get, you know, what is it about me that makes me feel this way when this event happens?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And putting in that time and effort. And it's huge. It's complete unpacking of, like, it didn't even cross my mind to discuss my parents in therapy. And when very early on she said, like, what's your relationship with, like, your parents? I really, like, rolled my eyes and was like, oh,
here,
like,
we go.
Boring. Like, what? Here we go. Like, this is what therapy is. Just being like, talk about your father. And I'm like, they're nice. They're really nice people. I like them. I don't really want to talk about them here. And she says, like, so much of her therapy work was, like, getting people to talk about their parents and to admit that, like, they were good people, but they did their best, but they weren't perfect people. And to acknowledge that, like, that's, she says, that's a huge part of her job, is people being like, I don't want to talk about my parents. They're great. They did this. They put me through school. Like,
yeah.
they looked after me. Like, I don't want to ever even acknowledge they, you know, so many people I know who have very, to me, very clearly, transparently bad relationships with their parents say, like, oh, they sent me to a good school or something. Yeah. And I'm like, it's okay. They can do that and also be bad, have let you down in other ways. Like, you can love them and be grateful and acknowledge that they didn't do X and Y or did do or whatever. Like, you don't have to say, like, oh, they sent me to a good school, like, I don't need to, or they cared for me for 20 years or whatever, which, yeah, they did, their parents. Like, you're allowed to. And I think it's a very particularly British thing. And I think it's very sort of, you know, there's so much, like, wrapped up in our, like, oh, we mustn't be cross with our parents. We could only be grateful. We can only be, you know, we can only be this. And just admitting that, like, they're people and, like, they just were doing their best. And of course they have failings and, like, they did a good, you know, just call, like, they're good enough, yeah. You know, not that they were perfect and unfailable.
It can just be as well a fear of them getting older as well. And that mm-hmm. could be the source
100%.
For a strain. And that's just, you know, you being frightened
for them and for you,
yeah.
You know,
unless you have, in which is great. But if you are just struggling and you don't know why, like, you can't identify what the problem is yourself, really. And your parents can't.
No.
And there will always, it's like, you know, what other relationship do you have that lasts as long as the relationship you have with your parents? Even if you don't really have much of a relationship, it's still there, mm-hmm. because they're never going to not be, you know, even if they're not around, then they're still your parents. So, like, you'll always have, whether you don't have a relationship, that's, like, just as much of a relationship almost as having
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The absence of a relationship is still a relationship. Like, that's yeah. still a thing to work on, the fact that they aren't there. And yeah, like, exactly like you're saying, like, we're so bad at communicating. Not very long ago, me and my mum ran the Athens Marathon. A day afterwards, we were, like, going around the city and my dad was in such a bad mood and he was really cross with everybody and I'd, like, really didn't know why. And then we found those, like, Lime scooters, you know, those, like, scooters that you can hire. Mm. And suddenly it was like a different person. He was, like, zipping around the city. And eventually we managed to establish that, like, he didn't want to walk anymore. Like, and that's why he was cross. And we were like, why didn't you just say you didn't want to walk anymore? Yeah. But I don't think he really, you know, it's all that sort of stuff. You're like, everyone's cross now and nobody knows why. And it turned out just to be like, you didn't want to walk anymore. And now we put you on a scooter and you're having a great time. And you're like, oh, this is ridiculous. Like, if people could just learn. And that's the thing, it wasn't that, I don't think he knew himself why he was,
yeah,
it's that stupid thing of being like, nobody knows why we have, that's why everyone should go to therapy, so they're a bit better at being like, these emotions are coming up, can I investigate them, why is it happening?
The take home here is just, you know, if your parents grumpy, try putting
them
on
a scooter.
Just put them on a scooter. Also as well, there's, you know, like, we all talk about, it's very fashionable to talk about, what's your love language, you know? But that can be translated to parents very easily, where it's like, there are some people, yeah, stereotypically, it's the dad who's like, unable to show love, but what he does is he's in his workshop. So the way you can show love to your dad is to just go and spend some time in his workshop with him, handing him tools.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is, like, hideously heteronormative. But what I'm saying is just, like, is using that, the most clear example, to be like, you can work out what makes your, so, like, you know, for example, I worked out when my mum comes round, my mum wants to make me dinner, clean up, do the dishes, be a mum to me. Like, she wants to do those things. And I'll be like, no, mum, I'll do it. No, mum, sit down.
I'm the grown
up. Sit down. Stop doing. And that takes away the thing that brings her joy. Obviously, she doesn't want me to just go home and just like be like a slob and just like do everything for me. But like,
but she wants to show her care in that way. Like, it's like when people like want to bring you a cup of tea, or like you go to someone else's house. And I brought a friend to my family's like extended family, and I was like, just take food from them if they give it to you. Like, just hide it somewhere. I know you don't want a meringue. They're just trying to show. Like welcome you by saying, do you want a cup of tea? Do you want this? They want to. And exactly what your mum is doing about being like, you're like, don't tidy for me. You make me feel like an infant. They're like, I want to show my love, please.
Yes,
ultimately,
love.
Like let people love you or comfort you or do the things they would like in the way that they want to do it. And like, and just accept that like, you're like, that's not what I want. And you're like, yeah, sorry. Like, let it happen.
Yeah.
You know,
and like, I suppose the moment you can identify, and obviously that's a very nice example, but the more.
Yeah. Be like your mum comes around and is too nice.
She does too much stuff and she gives me too many presents. But what I mean is that like, there are other things that you can find yourself being, you know, frustrated by, for example, or you could actually find out that, well, that's your parents' way. Like, you know, how do you communicate with your parents? How do you create a relationship with your parents where you have to look at what they respond to as well? They will respond to things that maybe you wouldn't respond to, or they will respond to things that you'd be like, well, why don't you just say, for example, why don't you just say you love me rather than...
Why don't you just say you love me? Yeah.
Why don't you just say you love me more, or why don't you do this? Or why don't you talk more or communicate more or whatever? But it's like, no, everybody is always communicating. You just have to figure out what their language is and how they are communicating. And also, realistically, the relationship that you can have with your parents, maybe that is not a relationship. Maybe you can't. But if you are good, and it's a very depressing thing, but like a good... way of deciding whether a grudge that you have or a thing is worth forgiving is to be like, well, if they just really engage in the fact that you get a call tomorrow and they've gone, would you be devastated that you didn't try harder? Or would you be like, no, actually, I back myself. So if you'd back yourself, then great, you're doing great. Always worth checking in every few years with to see if it's still going okay, or if there's anything more you can do, great. But if you're like, oh, okay, yeah, no, I've got some stuff to, I'd feel devastated because I hadn't reconciled this, or I know that I don't call them enough, or I know that there's our relationship just isn't good enough, then now is the time to go, okay, well, what can I do? Don't wait for them. What can I do to make this relationship work on a way that I feel satisfied, that I have the relationship I want with my parents, that I feel like I'm giving enough, that they're getting enough? Because each stage is different. There's the kind of adult to adult stage, and then there's old person adult stage, which is a whole other different kettle of fish that, you know, we will move into, and it will be very difficult. But that is another stage where you have to kind of go, this relationship is now going to be different again. We all change again. It's all change. If you can, it's worth it always.
Yeah. I just want to address two more things in Christina's thing about both. I really think it's very funny that she was like, I'm married with a house and a cat. You know, it's like, I'm the grown up now. I'm trying my best. And I think it's like, they're never, ever going to see you as a grown up. You'll always be their baby. And the, you know, just, and it's that thing about like, what can you work on in you that's like, it doesn't bug me so much that they want to treat me like a child. And I think bringing a partner into the situation just exacerbates the whole thing by tenfold, you know, because now nobody really knows how to behave. My younger sister's getting married, and I really feel everyone's so excited, but I really feel the sort of like dynamic shifting of like, her being a married woman when she's clearly 10, you know, like what?
Yes.
Even I'm like, what do you mean married? Don't be absurd. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, it came up the other day, like whether she was going to change her last name. And I could really feel that it hadn't occurred to any of us, my immediate family, that she wasn't going to be a Coates anymore, you know, that we were like, and that felt like a huge thing of like, she wasn't going to have our last name. It's really, really tough. And so just sort of accepting that everybody is coming at it from a different, it's love manifesting itself in weird ways when it comes out in, you know, in different points of view and in different arguing thing. And ultimately it's just like, you just have to be like, is this a battle I want to fight, or is it all right for me just to like get in the back seat and let this, you know, let this happen? And I've got one more thing. A friend at university, like when we first went home, after he had this really lovely long hair, and then like basically like shaved his head in a real grump, like right before we went home for the holidays. And I was like, what the hell are you doing? And he was like, every time I go home, my mum like tells me off and says I need to go to the hairdressers, and says like, I must book you an appointment with my hairdresser. And then I met the mum much, much later, and she was telling me a story about her hairdresser. And I was like, oh, she doesn't want you to cut your hair. She loves her hairdresser and she's really proud of you and she wants her hairdresser to meet you. Like, that's what's going on here. Not that she's like, oh, you must cut that hair, which is how it sounds to you when she constantly says, like, can I book you an appointment with my hairdresser? She's obsessed with her hairdresser. She wants, she always talks about you and he's never met you and she wants you desperately to meet her hairdresser. Maybe she, again, doesn't know her total truth, but if she had just been honest and been like, I would love you to meet my, I'd love him to meet you, I'm so proud of you, please will you go to my hairdresser, you'd be like, of course, crackers request, but of course I will go and meet your hairdresser. If it's only ever presented as, shall I book you a haircut, shall I book you a haircut, you know, then of course, like, it seems like your hair is shit and you by proxy are also shit, you know.
Yeah,
so you rock up with your pre-shaved head so she can't say it, you know.
Yeah,
communicate, forgive, you know, accept that ultimately you're their baby and there ain't no getting out of this, you know.
Yeah, and but you are still able to say to them, you know, I really would love it if you didn't say this, or this really upsets me.
Everybody say your truths, you know.
Yeah, and if you and your parents won't, so you have to
and crucially remember
them
that they can't. So,
and also my parents are listening and I love you both. They listen every week.
I love you too, guys.
Also, of course, I love Debbie and Tom.
Just like to, I remember what type of dancing my dad did. Square dancing.
Yes. Heard that.
Thank you. Yes. I've been here the whole time thinking, it can't be step dance. That can't be right. Step up. My dad was in Step Up as a child.
If you have any more episodes, episode ideas that you would like us to tackle, please do. You can DM us on Twitter at NobodyPanicPod. Quick, Tessa, what's the email address?
NobodyPanicPodcast@gmail.com.
Maybe this is the week that you take a step towards your mum and your dad.
Build those bridges. And if you think, no, this river ain't, you can't even cross it, the river's too big, not this relationship.
Have a go.
Come on.
And then if it really is, then that's also fair enough. Because sometimes
absolutely, but at least have a little go and accept that you're not going to build it this afternoon. It's going to take a long time. But if you're prepared to put those first stones down, you'd be surprised how big a bridge you can build.
What a great note to end on. See you all next week, lads.
See you next week, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, you know, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.